Well, now joining us, our military analyst, Dr. David McIntyre, retired U.S. Army colonel who has been with us throughout this Iraqi war. You were not a member of the U.S. Senate, but in our view, you're just as esteemed for your insight here, Colonel. Let's go straight to the map, if we could, of Iraq, because there is so much going on many different fronts. Would you go over what's happening with us now?
Just a huge number of events all over the map. You know that we had the issue in Kirkuk, where U.S. troops and Kurdish troops together have taken control of that city, but we also had an agreement for Turkish advisors to join them today. That's going to be a very significant issue. Turkish observers in trying to make sure that everyone is satisfied that the stability of that area will be guaranteed in the future. We have U.S. Marines that were engaged in Baghdad in a very strong firefight last night. We had a suicide attack against them today. Although we had the casualties are not known, but apparently they were relatively light in that issue, but very strong attacks overnight. We had the attack on in Najif on the clergyman who had just arrived in country in order to try to bring stability to the situation. We had Marines that overnight believe they found perhaps some chemical and perhaps even some nuclear facilities in the southern part of Iraq. That's being checked out. By special teams have been sent over. We have people from the UK who are still trying to provide water and food to Basra and relieve the humanitarian conditions at that location. Meanwhile, we have U.S. troops continuing to flow into the region. In the far north, we have elements of the 1st Armored Division from Germany that are now arriving. In Kuwait, we have elements of the 4th Infantry Division, elements of the 2nd ACR Armored Cavalry Regiment, elements of the 3rd Armored Cavalry Regiment, all are arriving at the rate of about 2,000 a day, building up troops and troop strength as we try to bring some stability. There's a lot of hard fighting still in place because of the presence, the extensive presence, they believe, of Saddam's troops around Turkit. Consequently, we had a number of airstrikes overnight in that area. That is continuing. We think perhaps as many as 70,000 troops have concentrated up in that area, but their status of their morale, the status of their equipment is simply not known. Very complex, complicated picture across the map today.
Points out two important issues that we should talk about. First, Tikrit, Saddam Hussein's hometown.
Right.
Is the suggestion there that he perhaps has fled to the protection in and around Tikrit, or is there another military reason for all that activity there?
Well, there are just connections in that region that many of the people in his party had come from that area. I read recently that of the 16 people who ran the torture chambers in Baghdad, seven of them had Tikrit as a surname, or they are from that region. And so a lot of people have fled back in that direction. It's not like, we don't want to draw too many historical analogies, but it's not unlike the end of the Second World War when many of the Nazis, even when Hitler was gone, fled to the south down around the area of Birch's Garden. And so that's kind of what's happening in this case.
And given all the activity, Colonel, it is worth reminding our viewers here that because of the symbolic value of the statues mm-hmm. being torn down in Baghdad yesterday, that does not mean ipso facto mm-hmm. that this war is coming to an immediate end. There's more fighting
We have the example, again, to go back to Europe in the Second World War. In essentially April of 45, the main units were done, but there was fighting into May and June, individual units, some of them from other countries, just as today. Some of these people who are shooting, some of the people who are fighting, are not Iraqis at all. They are from other countries who have been left behind and really have no other hope.
So the discussion of a post-Saddam Iraq, while very, very important, there still is an insecure and unstable environment in many places in Iraq.
In many places, and it's going to have to be worked through a block at a time, a house at a time. Now, we are fortunately not, I believe we are not going to be seeing the house-to-house fighting that we have been concerned about earlier, but we are going to see now house-to-house security checks. We're going to be asking people on each block and in each neighborhood, who's a foreigner? Who's hiding weapons? We had a good incident earlier this morning where in the northern part of Baghdad, someone knocked on an American tank and said, would you destroy this for me? They had an RPG. And so they took that rocket-propelled grenade, and then another one showed up, another one. By the time they were done, 55 rocket-propelled grenades had been turned in.
Briefly, Colonel, one more point. What do you know about the search for the American prisoners of war? I don't believe they've been seen by the International Red Cross yet.
They have not, and this is an element of very high concern. Secretary Rumsfeld listed his priorities yesterday. today for action, for immediate action. It was listed as number two, right behind Saddam. We know we've got about a dozen. It was interesting that he included, he said, we are looking for prisoners not just of this conflict, but of previous conflicts as well. I believe they still think that perhaps we have at least one pilot from 1991 who was alive and may be a present somewhere.
Very, very tough issue for American forces. Colonel David McIntyre joining us again. Thanks so much for being with us.
Glad to be with you, Dave.